You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL, Quality of Life. Ah, well, don't you love to read? Don't you love to find a book that's going to, you know, well, I guess you could say turn your crank. If you're into murder mysteries, if you're into romances, if you're into fiction, science fiction, I mean, there's all the, so many different styles of stories and writing and even, I mean, first person, third person, all those things. I'm talking to an author today, Jean Paidko. Blood on the Break, why Blood on the Breakwater?
Well, the location came naturally because the Victoria Breakwater is a few blocks from my home and I walk there almost every day and it's a gorgeous, beautiful, scenic place, except when it's raining. And I thought, oh, well, why not spoil this gorgeous, scenic place by setting a crime here?
Is it a crime?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's, you know, blood.
Yes, but sometimes these things happen because they were destined to happen, as opposed to somebody premeditating and...
Oh no, there's very much malicious intent and planning that went into this crime.
I actually have a feeling that this could be the beginning of a whole series of activities that happen around this breakwater or many breakwaters around the world.
Well, actually, I'm working on the sequel, and rather than picking another breakwater, because I love to write for Victoria, because that's really who my audience, my origin story of an audience is, the people who supported me were the people of Victoria, seeing their story reflected. So I've picked another beautiful place in Victoria, not a breakwater, for the sequel, which
can
is...
Can we reveal?
All right.
Oh, is it too early?
No, I think we can do it. I've said it a couple of times out loud. The Sinking of Souls. That's the sequel that's coming out in September. Same main character, murder mystery.
Are we a little further down the coast? Is that like towards
We won't get a word we out won't, of
okay.
me otherwise.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, because there are a number of cemeteries along the waterway. In fact, there is one dedicated to Chinese.
Yes, there is.
Just down another area where I almost lived. Yeah. A very interesting, sort of funny little corner of the world.
It's a sad location.
It is.
Where they were, you know, forced those members of the community to sort of be buried.
Sikhs as well, I believe.
Okay, I'm not sure about that. But that's the thing about Victoria. There is so much rich history that we haven't explored or we don't know about.
Or don't want to talk about.
Absolutely. And so why write about New York or London? We've heard about all those places. Let's celebrate Victoria. Let's explore Victoria.
Does this mean that Munro's books on Government Street is like your primary outlet for your publications?
Oh, it's hard. I'm a word person, and it's hard to put into words how supportive Munro's has been
over
the past 6 months. I was a number one bestseller at their store for probably 3 months straight in their mystery section and on their top 10 fiction bestseller list for 3 months. So that doesn't really happen to self-published authors. It just doesn't. And they have said that they are excited to hold my launch in September for the new book.
September. Do we have a date?
No, we don't have a date.
But September sometime.
September sometime. So for a self-published author to have her event at such a prestigious bookstore is just, it's a dream come true.
Well, it is one of Canada's, like Nicholas Hoare in Ottawa, or a few in Toronto. This is the nexus of Canlit.
And it's Ian Rankin's favorite bookstore, too. I'll send him an invite because he is one of my inspirations because I do love the Brit crime authors, but he's a big fan of Munro's as well.
Has this increased the interest in previous things that you've written? Are those still out there available for the general public to buy?
Well, so I have three kids' Snufflewort books.
Yes.
And they're
that actually is kind of your handle, isn't it? Snufflewort?
It is. Well, that's the hilarious thing. I started writing the Snufflewort books during the height of the COVID lockdowns. No, I guess they weren't lockdowns. When people were isolated during COVID. And I started with these kid books about these creatures called snufflewarts, which are very similar to gnomes. So now, even if I become like a world-famous murder mystery writer, I will always sort of be the snufflewart. There's some humility in that, that I will always be the snufflewart.
Is there the possibility of the collision of the two kinds?
No.
No, they're two separate worlds.
No, those are two separate worlds. But I would like to, those were sort of late readers, sort of easy chapter books, and I would like to do a picture book. My daughter is an incredible artist. She's
Could you use her work?
Oh, I already have. Her books are all, my books are all illustrated by her.
Oh, I didn't but know that.
Yeah, she's...
bravo to her.
Yeah, well, my son helped as well. They're both Penalakit Nation members and beautiful artists, so I'm hoping to do a picture book with them, but... you know, there's only so many hours in a day.
And you work.
And I work full-time.
Full-time.
Yeah.
And the hours that you keep are not
hospitable.
Traditional. They're not traditional hours either, are they?
Oh, no, they are, actually. I work a 9-to-5 shift.
No, I didn't know that. I assumed because of my knowledge of...
No, the radio world can be... They can be on the radio early in the morning because I work in radio. But I can write anytime. The scripts just have to be in by 4. So I write... wake up at 6 and I try to write from 6 to 7, 7 a.m.
Yes.
And I get up 500 words a day, which if you do, within 5 months, you have a book.
Have you ever done NaNoWriMo?
No, I haven't.
Well, but it sounds like you're doing it no matter what, but it's like every time, any day, Remo, whatever.
Okay, yeah. I'm such a solitary creature. I hear about these things. I've seen it
I've been trying to coax you out of your shell to do this.
Well,
no, not true. No, well, we've had this conversation for...
I mean, just don't try to coax me out of my shell. Oh. I love my shell. I don't see it as a negative.
Of course not. No. It's just that sometimes, especially authors who do often work in isolation, in their own little head, their world, with a glass of gin at the side, perhaps, to engage them is more difficult than... Maybe it should be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you, this is not necessarily a promotional thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just investigating how you decided to write a book. How did you, as a young person, think there's a book inside me?
Oh, I just...
Or many books?
There wasn't a book. I taught myself to read when I was about 4 years old, and then to write, you know, immediately afterwards. So I've always been writing. I was writing by the time I got to kindergarten. So I've...
Are there other books that were never published? Or they,
I did write an early book in my 20s, and I'm dyslexic. And I sent it off to one agent who said, you know, great book, terrible spelling, you'll never be a writer. And I took that.
Oh, no. That sounds like an amazing thing, to do it in phonetics and whatever.
Well, you know, so... But
like
today,
that would be accepted, right?
No, No. There's great stigma against... poor spelling, which is why I hire, you know, a very good editor to help me with my books. And I have a lot of fear around that. And
Dispel some of that fear.
Oh, no. People come to you and tell you about, you know, the mistakes they find in your book, and they shame you for...
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
How can they do that about Snuffle? I would actually, since we're talking about Snuffle Awards a little early, you would expect them to spell in creative ways.
Yeah, it's...
So maybe that's the words we should be saying. Not incorrect spelling, but creative spelling.
Well, I tell my son, whose dyslexia is more profound than mine...
More pronounced.
It's our creativity tax. We're so creative that we don't even want to spell like other people, because many creative people are dyslexic. So I just say it's our creativity tax, and that's the price we pay to be how we are. So doesn't always make him feel better when he's struggling, but
because your children would have to, in my world, agree to be part of this conversation. But we'll just say that you have children.
Mm-hmm.
They sound very interesting. You know, it's a thing to have a full-time job, to be a writer, to be a mom, to be a... How do you juggle it all? But you said 6 in the morning till 7, you're right. So.
Yeah, no, it's exhausting. It's really, really hard. I'm a single mom. I have 2 kids. They have life-threatening health conditions. They both have severe anaphylaxis. So my plate is very full, but my main character in my book is a single mom who's raising 2 kids who have life-threatening allergies, because...
You write about what you know.
But not just that, is that I want to see the stories of single mothers reflected in literature beyond, like, romance stories where she's rescued by some, you know, handsome tech guru. Like,
with a sword.
Or just a big fat paycheck. But
yes.
I want us to be the main characters. I want us to solve mysteries. I just, you know, women are often treated like accessories in stories. And
But didn't Miss Marple and others sort of...
Yeah, it's... There's tropes. There's sort of like the older maiden aunt who never married,
maidenly,
right?
Yes.
So there's tropes where women are allowed to appear in these ways, and you know, there's something sort of benign about the unmarried aunt or, who's elderly, or but to be a single mother solving
Lansbury.
A mystery.
Right. In Murder, She Wrote, there's another matronly.
Yes, exactly.
As opposed to maidenly.
But there's no young children running around, and even when men are parents in books. The children may appear at the start of the book, but when it comes to like doing their job, there's never a conflict. They're never like arranging for a play date or running home to make a meal
or picking them up at the end of the school
day. No, it's always just, oh, I have two lovely children, and off they go on their adventure. So I wanted to bring those two things together and say that you can be a full parent and also do have a really exciting adventure.
You're saying that you're living it anyway.
I am. I wouldn't mind if it got a little less adventurous sometimes.
Well, it will. Speaking as a parent of now adults, it gets much easier.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
All those scheduling things disappear because you go, you know what? It's your life. And if you want to play lacrosse or rugby and you want to get hurt, especially the rugby thing, you know, you do it on your own. I'll pick you up at the hospital.
There will be no rugby.
No,
we've already had this discussion.
It was actually several weeks or so after Hannah signed up for rugby that I found out she was playing rugby.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. From beginning ideation of this book, this book specifically, how long did it take to go from, you know, that, a light bulb moment, to getting it down on paper, I shouldn't say on paper, unless you did. It was all laptop-based.
No, I write on an iPad.
You write on an iPad.
So,
that's okay. We have a little conversation going on. Well, actually, you know what? Can I just take a moment?
Yeah.
Jean, we're here at the Inn at Laurel Point, which is so amazing because we've tried multiple locations, but this is a nice, spacious area. There's nobody else here. We tried Nourish. We tried the Breakwater.
It's the Hustling James Bay, right? You think London's busy, try coming to James Bay. And it's off season, too.
I don't know what's going on.
I know. No, it's a thriving hub. It's not a light bulb, and I'm going to stick with a maritime metaphor. It's a wave that's building, and it's a wave that I started walking the Breakwater and thinking about. I've always wanted to write a murder mystery. I love murder mysteries. I've been reading them since I was 16, and, you know, start with the Agatha Christies, and then eventually
who also was Miss Marple's.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then solidly into sort of the Mark Billingham and
Dick Francis.
Oh, no.
Well, that includes horses.
Yeah, Ian Rankin,
yes.
Sort of, of that ilk. And then now I'm sort of into sort of the interwar period, you know, the ones that are set between World War One and Two.
Yes.
I love those. So that crescendo was building, and then just walking the Breakwater again, building. And then it's...
And you say you do this daily on the Breakwater.
Almost daily. Some days, like today.
But so it's inspirational.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it's moody.
It's broody.
Broody.
So I would say that it really started to take hold in sort of September, October. And then apparently announced at dinner.
One day
at Vista 18 that I was going to write a murder mystery. And then I write all my books from like November to March. That's how I work. The cycle works very well because you can sell books in September because Christmas is coming.
Exactly.
And people love books. And it's a great time to launch a book in the fall. So I write from November to March. I'm doing the same thing, this book, and then it's editor, and then you have it in September.
It's the end of February. I'm taking you away from writing.
I did my 500.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't come on here if I hadn't done my 500. And I reach 50,000 in 28 today, so I have about 15,000 to go.
Left to go.
So that's 3 to 4 weeks of writing, so close. So I'm very excited, and I have,
you can smell the end.
I can smell the end. I've plotted it out. You know, some of it's pantsing, or we call in the writing world pantsing or plotting. Now it's mostly plotting.
Yes.
It's pretty much worked out, and all the characters are just sort of, throw
them
in the
room. But we haven't read... With that number, we haven't reached the crisis moment, but you know what the denouement is going to be.
Yes,
we know
absolutely.
Do we know the last sentence?
No.
Oh.
But the last sentence is very important.
Yes.
Yes, so, but it will come. I couldn't pre-write the last sentence. That has to be written in the moment.
I'm a bit guilty of going to the back of a book and finding that last page.
Oh, I love my last sentences.
Oh.
They rival my first sentences. They both are something that I take incredible time with. Or not time, but
because they're often not hard. They're often very quick.
Do you kill your children? It's not your children specifically,
never.
But do you
no.
do you edit hard?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know, because
yes,
that's
yes,
what they say.
Oh, absolutely.
Kill your.
No, they say kill your babies.
I didn't want to say that. Babies sounds even worse than killing your children.
It does. No, absolutely. I had this beautiful prologue written, gorgeous prologue.
Have you kept it somewhere?
Oh, yeah, I keep everything.
Yeah.
But I explained to my daughter how I was using the prologue, and she just looks at me in the way that a 15-year-old does and says, nope.
And I said,
okay. And I so, no.
Dumped the whole thing, started again.
I could just go from where I had, because I had already written 5 chapters, and I kept on saying, is this going to be weird? And so I had my own doubts, obviously. And that's usually when people say things. They just affirm things that you already be. But I'll also fight for things, too, if I believe in them. And just be like, no, this is right.
Will this new book on the back have kind words by various other authors? Jean is a wonderful writer, blah, you know. And you know what they usually say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll say Editors Weekly or, you know, Maclean's Magazine
It's very hard for a self-published author to get that, because that's something the publisher would do. He'd send it out
to
famous, you know, like magazines and such like that. So I've decided I would like to have that. But I am going to have people from Community, like Carol James.
Oh,
she's a
Carol
great
James,
fan.
Former MLA.
She's a huge fan of the book, so I haven't reached out to her yet in case she's hearing
she's
this.
She's over there, yeah.
Anyways, I'm hoping she might write a line or two for the intro of the book or the end of the book, because she's been very supportive.
New young MLA for that region.
Grace.
Grace?
Lore.
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking about her.
Okay.
I was thinking about... it's just gone from my head, right? Mm-hmm. I can picture her, because, I mean, she does post quite often.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, many of them do. Maybe get the premiere to do something.
Yeah, I work in radio, so I have to keep my politicians non-practicing. I need them after they've sort of left.
Get dead, like Van der Zem.
Just left those things sort of formally behind them, so... But there's some other people, and you know, I may reach out to more high-profile people. But everything is harder when you're self-published. But it's also
but it's yours.
It's mine.
You own it. You wear it. It's yours.
Yeah. I would like to say I do it by myself, but that's not true, because my community made me a bestseller. My Victoria community made me a bestseller.
In the original days of your distribution, you were doing it yourself, and then Amazon.
Amazon. You start with, it's really one of the main ways that self publishers. You just publish it on Amazon and they sell it. So I don't do it myself.
Okay,
no, I
thought
down.
You were actually doing it. You know.
No, it's very expensive. I tried some local printers and it was very expensive. Mm. Amazon will print a book for you between $3 and $5 and deliver it to you.
And the distribution. Then comes through them or comes through...
Well, locally, I will drive them to bookstores.
Yes.
Like, I call them my creative potatoes when I carry my book up the steps of Monroe's.
And not just Monroe's. There's just over at... No, I'm going brain dead, of course. Hillside, near Hillside, there's...
Yeah, Boland's.
Boland's Books.
Yeah.
Yes,
no,
thank you.
I've got. No, they've been wonderful. I got to do an author talk for them, and I'm their book club book this month, so I'll be doing a chat with them. So that will be fun.
I've done events there, and they're really nice people.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then, but then the other people...
It was
another
50th anniversary, I think I did. Boland's has been around for a long time.
It has, yeah.
Now, you were recently on Gabriola.
I was, yes. I did an author chat there.
To 86 people or something like
that. No, it was only about 20. Well, not that I don't like...
That was 10% of the population.
Not that I don't like to hyperbolize, because I'm an author.
Book talks by authors.
Mm-hmm.
Are either really, really well attended, like you can't get a seat, or there's seats available.
There's seats available. I've been just really blessed. And I, as an author, use social media as a tool. I use it for good, as much as it can be a terrible
You
person.
Actually have just hit on something I wanted to tackle. You are a busy person on social media.
I am.
Really busy. Like, you're probably in my top 5.
Yeah, I wouldn't have become a bestseller without social media. There's absolutely no way I've got to have gotten the word out. So basically, I have almost 2,000 followers. And so when I launch, and I, they...
2001, that includes me.
Exactly. They joined me on the journey because I put up photos of sunsets. One of my sunset photos is the cover photo. So they were there for me as I wrote it. So they were there on the journey, and this is their journey too. And I give them full credit for supporting me. So they were there for the whole year of taking photographs, or 9 months. And then come September, I said, okay, kids, you got to go to Amazon.
and you got to buy it. And they said, oh, we want to buy it in the local bookstore. And I said, absolutely, but you got to do this first. You got to make it number one.
Right.
And they did. And then once it was hit number one, all the local media picked it up.
Dare I ask, how much has penetrated the market? I'm sort of asking about numbers. Because, you know, I mean, if you reach a certain number, you know the Governor General pays attention to
Well, again, if I was traditionally published, people would be noticing. Because I'm self-published, I get ignored. I've sold over 2,000 books, which is very healthy for a traditionally published book and almost unheard of
for a
self-published book.
Yes.
But I still remain in the shadows, so...
Well, not that this program will help you, but, you know, I mean, it'll be out there for people to listen to. And, and certainly, you know, if you are interested, type in Blood on the Breakwater, Jean Paidco.
I think we need to spell it, though, don't we?
So, if you're out there in Radio Land and you're looking for a book to read, you're looking for, well, a gift for somebody who's interested in murder mysteries, it's the place to go. And, of course, this now companion, you call it a sequel.
I do call it, it's a series, it's a book series. So the story is finished in Blood in the Breakwater. This is the next book in the series, just as Ian Rankin writes another book.
Same
detective, new mystery.
Right. Yeah,
so it's not a sequel.
So we know the style, the pacing.
Yeah.
Paragraphs are I mean, if you read it, and you read, like, if two people were reading, as if it was a concert, you would hear harmonious notes
absolutely.
Between...
And lots of cherry trees.
Oh, which are blooming right now.
Exactly. Yes. No, it's lovely, actually, to write as the cherry trees are blooming. They're very inspiring. So, yeah, no, very similar harmonies. Yeah, absolutely.
In making a book, we'll call it making, family has to be very supportive. Do your kids go like, oh, mom's writing right now, let's just leave her alone for a little while? Or do they...
When's a teenager and when's an almost teenager?
Almost teenager, yeah.
They have such rich interior lives that it doesn't really register with them that, you know, I'm a bestseller and things like that. And sometimes I'm sort of like, you kind of want your kids to go rah rah. I'm like, no, they're kids.
They don't have like one of your books wrapped in their backpack, and they talk to somebody and they say, look, I'll sell you one right now. Would you like a book?
The younger, who's quite precocious, will go up to his teachers and tell them that they need to read my book, which they do. But the older is a teenager, and it's much more subtle than that. So the other day she was at the mall with her friend, and she went to Indigo, and she found my book in Indigo, and she texted me a picture. So...
Oh, you posted that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you get praise in that way. You can't be like, say you're happy for me, because they'll just, you're so weird, Mom, right? So you just have to wait. I say a teenager is sort of like a wild animal. If you chase them, they'll run away into the woods. You sort of have to sit there quietly in the woods and let them, not even just sit quietly, and eventually they'll come up and say hello. And say hi, but you just have to remain calm.
It sounds to me like you need to write a teenager book because you've got so much intimate knowledge about it.
Oh, it's in the sequel.
Oh, is it?
Absolutely. Ah. Yeah, my kids are in the sequel too, so for better or worse.
You've definitely got a knack for it. Do you see this continuing for decades, perhaps?
Oh, yes. Oh, I want to write at least 10. This is my future. Absolutely. Oh, no, I love
even it. As a retirement
yes,
project?
I hope it might even bring about early retirement. That's the goal. No, I love it. And now that I know I can do it, I've wanted to do it my whole life, and I've been writing plays my whole life, and I've been writing articles for newspapers. But now that I know I can do it, now, you know, good luck stopping me. People say, you know, oh...
Momentum.
Confidence?
Yes.
You know, and...
Oh, I wouldn't have doubted that you had...
Oh, absolutely. No. All writers have poor confidence. That's why we sit there and reflect the world. If you have great confidence and you don't reflect that well. No, you have to have terrible confidence, I think, at least when you're younger as a writer, because then you're always doubting and questioning and looking at people and wondering if they like you and if they don't like you, and if they don't like you, why don't they like you, and things like that. So that's sort of... So now I still have lack of confidence, but then I also have fits of confidence. There's nothing in the middle.
Let's ask these questions then, because you write as a profession. Mm-hmm. As well as this, which is a profession as well.
Yep.
Did you ever go to like a writer's camp? Did you ever attend? I just read.
I read.
Your training was watching what other people had done before.
I probably in my 20s and 30s, before I had children, probably read 3 to 4 books a week.
So I read and
Does your night table have like five or six on the go? Or do you read individually and then next?
Yes.
You
yes,
do? Okay.
Yeah, and I also tend to read ebooks now just because it helps me fall asleep. So I don't like
Well, they're heavy.
They're heavy. Yeah,
and my wrists can't take it anymore.
No, my hands, because I'm writing all day.
I think it was a bucket list where Jack Nicholson had these glasses that were angle that you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was for watching TV or reading books.
Yeah.
I find like if I could have it projected on the ceiling, it would be so much easier.
Yeah, exactly. So
your book is available on Kindle and others? I didn't remember.
It's on the Amazon ebook.
Yes.
Exactly. Which I think you can read with, you read with a Kindle. And I'm trying to make an audiobook. I've heard from lots of folks who would prefer that, like truck drivers who want to listen to it.
Yes, yes.
I'm just so dang busy. So my goal...
Who would... I mean, what kind of voice would you be?
Oh, mine, probably.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm hoping once I finish the first draft and I send it off to the editor for round one, then I'll spend a couple weekends and record the audiobook.
I interviewed Wabagisha Grice a little while ago.
Yeah,
who's... Oh, there's a CBC thing.
Yeah,
but anyways,
absolutely.
He has had the same person read his books.
Oh, okay.
Moon of... And Turning Leaves.
I have to pay for everything myself. I don't have a publisher.
Ah.
So, and I have a theatrical background.
Clearly, on this radio program, you have done an amazing job of communicating.
Well, I love reading aloud and actually think language is meant to be heard, and the way that I write is very musical. So when I do sentences, it's da 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 da. So I like to read aloud, and I love to read like Dr. Seuss to my children or Mo Willems.
Would you? Could you in a?
Yeah.
Exactly. In the Laurel Point.
Absolutely. No, it's like my favorite thing, and they're too old, but I still read them, picture books, because I just love reading them. Picture books.
Accessing your book.
Mm-hmm.
Blood on the Breakwater, available through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Available at Canadian booksellers?
It's available at Victoria Booksellers. You can get it through your local bookstore. It's a little bit tricky and a little more expensive if you're not in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about public libraries?
Oh, there's so many public libraries that have it. And if yours
here. Perhaps
across the country. Harvard University has my bookstore.
See?
Has my book. So
look at that. Confidence plus.
Absolutely. I thought that was quite nice. No, I just found out that the Moose Jaw Public Library has my book. I'm just learning about these little small towns.
People send you messages?
Yeah, they do, which I love. They do two things. They either send me a message of themselves reading my book with their dog or in a beautiful location, which I love. It's my favorite thing in the world to get a picture of my book and someone reading it. Or else they send me a picture of my book in the card catalog. Can you still call it that?
Yes. So the Dewey Decimal System.
Exactly. Of their local library. So there's probably approaching 30 libraries in Canada
that have it. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
If you're out there in Radio Land and you need a book to read, you want a book to read, you're interested in reading a book about a Canadian location, well, specifically here in Victoria, James Bay, Blood on the Breakwater is available for you in Canada in 2024. Look for the sequel.
The Sinking of Souls.
The Sinking of Souls.
That will be up on Amazon. That's the easiest way to get it is Amazon, but we'd like to support local bookstores. So if you can, support your local bookstore, 100%.
Jean Paco, my guest today here on QOL 96.7. Tune in this Thursday, every Thursday, if you're listening to traditional radio. If you're listening asynchronously, just Google my name, Hugh Cruzel, and the word, podcast, and you can listen anytime on Spotify. Hundreds of episodes available for you at your leisure, at your convenience. Bye for now, folks.